Please silence all electronic devices.
I'm sorry, folks. I don't trust them. And our folks don't trust them.
There is a great deal of overreaction from those who are criticizing this legislation. They will see me in court. You know, if the General Assembly were really trying to do a power grab, there's a lot of things the General Assembly could do, and we weren't.
And they don't have a very good track record there.
Any further discussion or debate?
This is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm managing editor Dave DeWitt. Jeff Tiberi, WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief and the regular host of this podcast, is out this week and for the next several, and for a very good reason. Jeff and his wife, Blair, welcomed a baby boy last week. So with Jeff out, our politics podcast this week is in the very capable hands of political reporter Rusty Jacobs. This week, Rusty sits down with Meredith College political science professor David McLennan. The two talk about the races for the U.S. House in North Carolina. Three of the races are considered competitive or somewhat competitive this fall. And at least one, the 9th district race, between Republicans Robert Pittenger and Mark Harris, will be a highly competitive primary. So without further ado, here's Rusty Jacobs and David McLennan.
North Carolina has only a couple of contested primaries in U.S. House races next month. Two are in the Republican Party. So let's first talk about the 9th district. Robert Pittenger facing Mark Harris. Race 2 years ago was decided by fewer than 200 votes. So what stands out to you about this race this year?
First, the negativity. This has been probably the most negative primary that I've seen anywhere around the country. I mean, you've got two people who have campaigned against one another, but both are really being very vicious toward the other. And, you know, if we think back to the old Ronald Reagan mantra about not Republicans shouldn't attack other Republicans, that's gone by the wayside. But I think both are trying to, at times, embrace Trump, who is the most Trumpian of the two. And at other times, you see particularly Pittenger kind of positioning himself very carefully to not embrace Trump too carefully. But I think it's the hostility in the race and just the charges that are made from one to the other.
And I guess there might be some lingering resentment from the previous race.
There could be. I mean, first of all, you know, people thought coming into this election cycle, if those two ran against one another, it would be something like the 2016. Right now, it doesn't appear quite as close. But again, we've got some time before primary day. And certainly, you know, Robert Pittenger is not a safe person. I mean, he's had some issues within his own district brought up by local media. So, you know, he is not a safe candidate by any stretch of the imagination. So his opponent has used that against him.
Interesting, though, that you described walking a fine line between being close to Trump and distancing yourself from Trump.
Well, I think, you know, it's the kind of district where if you look at it, you know, there's some people in that district who are probably not supportive of Trump at all. And so he's got to be very careful that this is not a traditional rural county where Trump runs his very strongly. So this is, you know, in the Mecklenburg County area, you got some suburban areas of Mecklenburg County where Trump is not as popular. So he's really got to get his folks out. You know, if he and his opponent both are going after the Trump voters, well, who's going after those that don't support Donald Trump? And that's what I think Robert Pittenger is doing.
Walter Jones is seeking a 12th consecutive term representing the 3rd District. He's voted fewer times with President Donald Trump than any other Republican in the House. How has he been able to remain an independent voice in what some see as a hyper-partisan era?
Well, I think it's because he has so much experience. I mean, Walter Jones has been Walter Jones more so than he's been a Republican for decades. You know, I think what he's got, and particularly this speaks to his district, is a strong support of the military. And it's a district that does have a military presence. You know, he garnered that back during the height of the Iraqi war when he turned against his own president, Republican President Bush, and he took a very hands-on approach to military veterans. But I also think he's also established his conservative credibility. I mean, he voted against the omnibus spending package, and he consistently talks about a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. So he's got credibility within the conservative circles. But I think his independence works because, just like with other districts, you know, being associated with Washington too closely is not a good thing. And so he can be an independent at times, be a good conservative at times, but not necessarily have to be tied, you know, nose to nose with Donald Trump.
So now looking ahead to the fall and the general election, two races for Congress are likely to get a lot of attention. Let's first talk about the likely matchup between Republican Ted Budd and Democrat Kathy Manning. It's the 13th district. What stands out to you about that race?
Well, I think, first of all, if Manning is the nominee, I mean, she's got money. And that's where, you know, Ted Budd is a newcomer, a relative newcomer, not as well known as some of the other members of the congressional delegation from North Carolina. So even though it's still considered a Republican district, when you have a Democratic challenger who's as well connected as Kathy Manning is and who has the resources that Kathy Manning will presumably have, you know, then that's why you start looking at it and saying, you know, this guy doesn't have a long voting record. He hasn't sponsored a lot of legislation. He really doesn't appear on national talk shows or do the kind of things that other members of the North Carolina delegation do. So even though it is a Republican district, a strong Democratic wave in the fall elections coupled with Manning's money could make this a very competitive district.
Do you see the DNC, the National Democratic Party, getting involved in this district?
Yeah, I see of the three races that are most talked about in North Carolina as being competitive, I would say this one and the 9th District are the two in which I could see the DNC being most, or the DCCC being most involved in.
The winner of that Pittenger-Harris race in the 9th District could face a fight from a Democratic challenger. Do you see that as a flippable seat for the Democrats?
Again, it's very much like the 13th district, or to some degrees the 2nd district. It depends on the Democratic turnout. If public opinion stays constant until November and the Democrats are motivated and they get out, yes, it could be. I mean, you also think whoever wins that primary is going to be damaged by the primary campaign. I mean, it's very hostile. It's very negative. A lot of personal charges being lobbed back and forth. Meanwhile, If you know, the Democratic challenger emerges with a lot of money and you know, is relatively unscathed, you would think at least the Republican would be on the defensive during most of the campaign, and the Democrat would have somewhat of an advantage. And again, particularly since someone like both of them at times have tried to, meaning the Republican challengers, Republican incumbent and the challenger, have tried to tie themselves with Trump, you could see that the Democrat is going to go after the Republican nominee over President Trump time and time and time again. Because, again, the kind of district it is lends itself to having a lot of voters who are not Trump supporters.
What other races will you be keeping an eye on come fall?
Well, those are the big three in North Carolina, the 2nd, the 9th, and the 13th district. Some of the other districts are, you know, fairly safe seats. I mean, you know, G.K. Butterfield's seat is one of the safest in the country, and David Price's is right up there. So there are not a lot of other interesting seats come November. I would be more than shocked if we see any of the other seats, any of the other 9 seats or 10 seats in North Carolina come within, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 points.
You know, North Carolina's congressional delegation has been a safe 10-3 split for the Republicans for a while. I mean, do you see that changing significantly?
You know, I'm really one of those types that believes in the best predictor of future voting behavior is past voting behavior. And so if the Democrats were to walk out with just a 9-4 deficit after this election, they have to be pleased. I mean, I look around the country and I see the possibility of the Democrats taking back the House and maybe even taking back the U.S. Senate. North Carolina is not going to be a major player in that, I don't think. You know, if those three seats that we've talked about, 2, 9, and 13, go Democrat, then, you know, we're talking about one of the most monumental waves in U.S. history. We'll probably see Democrats pick up 80 seats in the House and who knows how many Senate seats.
Professor David McLennan of Meredith College, thank you very much.
Thank you. Great talking with you.
The WUNC Politics Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tune in every Friday afternoon for the Week in State Politics on WUNC Radio and online at WUNC.org. Thanks for listening.